he lives in a place to be able to work. Therefore, they give preference to people who live in a city to do that business, rather than people who come from a different city. And therefore, somebody comes from outside the city, halakhically, the person who lives there can say, you can't come here and open up the same business as me. However, if it's beneficial for the general public that that person comes from outside the city open up, because, for example, he offers better quality goods, or his prices are much better, then we say we prefer to look after the general public than the individual who's already working there, and therefore we allow somebody from out of the city to come up and open up the similar business. Similarly, we say, if he's paying taxes, that's also beneficial for the general public, that somebody from out of the city should come in and pay taxes to the local community. They benefit by having those taxes. So we allow them to come if they're paying taxes as well. When don't we allow it? That means if they're not paying taxes and it's not beneficial for the general public, then somebody in the city can say, I have a right here, you cannot come, you should not open up business if you're coming from a different city. That's how we learn. Now, of course, this shaila only starts when it's a localized business. That means most of the customers come from around where the business is situated. But if it's a global market, that means your customers come from, because you're selling on websites and all that, so your customers come from London, New York, England, Jerusalem, then of course, there's no concept of city, out of city concept over there. It only starts this concept, if we're talking about business, where majority of its customers come from its locality, and therefore he has the right to say, I live here, I do the business here, and therefore I'm entitled to be here, and you from a different city are not entitled to come. We learnt there is, however, there's a halacha that says in the Gemara, that case of the fish. The case of the fish where it says that even if two people live in the same city, the first fisherman who sets up his net can stop the second fisherman who lives in the same city from getting up his net. Why? So we saw Peshat by the Rima Gash that says that because we're talking about situation is by the second one setting up, he's destroying the first guy's business. There's a halacha that says you're not allowed to set up a competing business if by doing that you totally wipe out the first guy's business. How do you do that? For example, there's not enough customers go around for two businesses. And you're therefore, there's not room for two in the market. You're not allowed to open up number two in such a situation. Another example is that you're not allowed to open up in a situation where it's clear that all the old customers, the first guy's customers are going to come to you. For example, he's at the back of a cul-de-sac and you open up in the front of the cul-de-sac. No one's going to go to the back now, they're all going to go to the front. You're totally destroying the first guy's business. You're not allowed to do that. That's the halacha according to the Ashkenazim that is in situation.
But if you're offering lower prices, you can't open a business. There's only room for one business in town?
If there's only room for one, you're not allowed to open up number two.
Even if I can benefit all those
Yes,
residents.
Because there's no heter to destroy somebody's business. Even if you're benefiting other people, the general public in such a situation.
A lot of times you don't know whether or not there's enough to support it, both businesses, until you actually open up and see.
Yes.
So how does one make a determination like that if it's a very gray type of area?
So you may be allowed to set up if you have figures to think that there is, but if at the end of the day we see that you were, there wasn't, then you have to close the second one.
There are lots of cases that force somebody to actually close in that situation?
Yes. Now, the Shiloh came to Rabbi Yashiv like this. Egged, Egged Bus Services, they set up their bus stops. People collect at the bus stop. Is a tender that comes along allowed to go and pick people up at the bus stop? Are people allowed to go along and give people rides at that bus stop? Or is it a problem of Hatzogah's rule that you're taking business away from Eged by doing that?
You're not destroying your business.
You're not destroying the business. That's the shayla that was asked to Rabbi.
What is it got to do with the fact that it's a bus stop?
Eged set up the bus stop. People come there because they intend to go on the bus. And now we have other people using the opportunity that they've been collecting there for Eged purposes to come along and say, oh, come to me instead. Is that a problem of our Hasogas Gavul to take away people from the Eged bus stop?
You mean because they're already intending to be an Eged customer?
Yes.
Okay. The local authority sets up the bus stop.
The Eged pay the rights to have that.
Do they own it?
Yes.
So it's like their store? It's like walking to somebody's store and pulling it?
Maybe, yes. That was the shayla asked to Rabbi Yashin. Is it a problem of Hasogas Gavul? So based on what we learned up to now, we're not talking about from different cities, or we're talking about that's not an issue of it. The other issue, are Eged wiped out by the fact that somebody takes away their business, that takes away one or two customers? That's not true either, it doesn't get wiped out. So on what we learnt up to now, this shouldn't be a problem for these tenders to come along and take away the business. Because on what we learnt up to now, it shouldn't be a problem, Hatzogas Gavul, how we understood the Hatzogas Gavul. You're not coming from a different city and taking away the local guy's business. And we're not talking about where you're destroying the guy's business. So therefore, on the concept of Hatzogas Gavul, haven't really seen to be a problem.
And you're offering either better quality or lower prices.
Yeah.
It's usually the same price.
No, that guy's better quality, but the free ride is better price. I mean, the Sheirut is better quality because it's direct, but it's higher price. Yeah. Maybe or the same, and the free ride is a better price.
Well, what would be wrong with the free ride? Taking away business?
Taking away business. So let's...
What's the issur of taking away business and doing it for free?
Let's analyze.
If you earn money, it's worth.
Let's analyze where it could be a problem. Why could it be a shayla? Because if you go back to the Gemara says one shop can open up next to another shop, but not in the case of the dogim case. You have a fisherman, the second fisherman can't come. We already gave one explanation why that's true. Because you're destroying the first guy's business. There's another explanation from the Chidushi Haramban on the sugya of dogim, and he explains like this. If you look at the first Maramokim, he says, why can't the second fisherman open up? A second shop can open up, the second fisherman can't, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Shani dogim dihavisei. Dogim is different. Why? What's that mean? Mefarish ba'oruch. The oruch explains why. Lefi sheheim mavitim l'rochot. Because they look, the fish look in far distances. Because she'okhan kan heim nosim enai miros im yesh mazonis bogam v'achem. When the fish come along, they're always looking, they're eating over here, but they're always looking, maybe there's more food over there. They're always looking, where's their next meal going to be? That's what the fish do. Heim holkim shom. So he says, upamim shenis the bereshes. So sometimes the fish goes to the first fisherman's net. The first fisherman put up his net with the food. And the fish go into that net to eat the food. But then they see there's another net out there which also has food. So what today happens? Heim holkim shom. They jump out of the first fisherman's net and they go to the second fisherman's net because there's also food. Zeh gezel gomel. The second fisherman, by setting up his net and putting food there, has stolen those first fish. They're already in the net, so to speak. They're already in the bag. Those first fish were already in the first fisherman's net. And they jumped out. Because, why did they jump out? Because they saw the food in the second fisherman's net.
Not why, how? How did they get out of the net?
They didn't suck over here in the net.
Because it takes time for it to close. They close the net after.
It's not trapped yet.
It's not trapped, and that's why.
It is yet.
That's why it's so not Gezel Gomor as the literal Loshen. It's a Grom Gezel. You're causing a Gezel to happen. Hoyo Kavar Nitzu, because it's, so to speak, already in the bag. So the Ramban says, Bishat, why can't the second fisherman set up his net? because we're talking about scenarios where the fish already gone into the first fisherman's net, and by setting up your net, the second guy's net, he's now encouraging them to go out of the first guy's net, and that you can't do. Once it's already in the first guy's net, you can't encourage them to come out of the net. And that is also the kula amr. And that's why the second vision got set up. So, when anyone says the chasim sofer, therefore, if somebody's already in the shop of something, let's say he's already in the makolet, and he's going around shopping in the makolet, and putting things in his trolley, it's awesome for somebody to go up to him and say, you know what, you can get cheaper stuff across the roads in a different makolet. Because, says the chasim sofer, that person who's in the shop is like he's already in the net of the fisherman. And by telling him go to that shop because it's cheaper, you're now causing him to jump out of the net and go to there. That's gezel. That's wrong gezel. But you're not allowed to do this. It's awesome for you to do that, to take somebody out of somebody's net and put it into another person's net.
Fish belongs to the fisherman. The customer does not.
It doesn't belong to him because it's not. He can, the proof is the fish can jump out.
It's gram gezel, but the only shaykh is gezel because I'm taking his property.
It's not yet
the
his property. Halachically, it's not yet his property.
I understand, but eventually it will be. The customer will never be the store owner's property.
Yes, he will. Not
his
the
money
customer.
Will.
His
not
money will. Exactly.
The money he can.
His money is will. His business is. I've got his business. And now I'm causing him to already jump out of me. He was going to be mine, and he caused him to go elsewhere. That is comparable to the fisherman, and it's also to do, says the Chasam Sofer.
When a person has to go so far, they're doing email marketing or text message marketing, to have to do it after store hours so they don't accidentally send a message someone's in the store and would then go to their store? Or is that, saying it to the Rovam, so it's unintentional at that point.
We're talking about somebody going up to a specific person. Now you're talking about, you just put up a sign.
Yeah, or a car driving around making announcements.
Yeah, so we'll discuss that. Does it come into this category? That's about it.
But on the other side, isn't it Hashem Bata Veda? This person's being ripped off in this store. I'm sending him somewhere else where he'll pay half the price. I'm saving him money. It's like an Aveda that I'm throwing to him.
So, it's not the same. Why is it not the same? It's not Hashabah Saveda to do it. Why?
Just that you have the law, something that you don't want to have. If you know that you draft it, you're shopping willingly in the store only for the price you pay. You're willing to pay. I feel like you lost money that you didn't want to pull out.
But not every time you go into a store are you going to buy something. You also shop around in stores. So maybe a makolet, okay, the guy's going to buy because he's got things in his cart, but you walk into a shoe store, you're looking around, all of a sudden you hear, oh, there's shoes. You're happy to walk out and go. In fact, you do that half the time anyways. You might be looking around. So who says you're actually in the guy's net when you're in the store?
The Chasam Sofer says that it's also for anybody to tell him about the other store, it's also for the other store owner to tell him about the other store.
He says that it's also for you to go into the person in the store and tell him to come to my store.
What? Who's my?
The person
who's telling him.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, how do we define this correctly? It's not on Shabbos Aveda, like you pointed out. It's not like he's lost something against his will. He's making a decision and he would decide this is good enough price for me. If it will be a situation where the shopkeeper is doing his surim because he's overpricing in halachas of Torah, he's overpricing more than the sixth, then he's not allowed to do that. Then you're allowed to tell him, don't continue over here. This shopkeeper is doing his surim. You're not allowed to shop over here. He's going to overcharge you. That is not allowed to go into halacha. But if he doesn't do his surim, and yes, he's higher prices, but it's within the limits of halacha, then you're not allowed to tell him to go out and go over there. That's not called Hashabbos Beta, and you're not stopping the shopkeeper doing his surim. No, but therefore, there's no hesitation to take the person out. Yes, because the problem here, the issue is to cause somebody to go out of the net. He's already in the net. I'm taking him out of the net. But the person who's in the net, so to speak, decides, okay, I don't want to be in this net anymore, I want to go elsewhere. That's no problem, because he's making the decision himself to leave. That means that no Guan Gezel to cause himself to go out of the net. That's his personal decision, that he decided that I've changed my mind, I'm not going to shop here anymore. So if he decides I'm not going to shop here, that's also okay. So now let's get back to Rabbi Yashiv Shaila. The Shaila is now Shaila. The people are now at the bus stop.
But they're not in the bus.
They're at the bus stop. And then the attendant comes along and says, come on me to Bnei Barak or to Tel Aviv. And it's 10 shekels. Are they allowed to do that?
Yes.
Or is it also, is it like they're in the shop already? And therefore now it's already also to take them out to a different shop. You're not allowed to take them out of the shop of Eged and put them on the shop of the tender. Is it already like that, or is it not yet like that?
Even if it was like that, it would still be mutter. Because when they go to the bus stop, they're going on bus, but if a tender passes by, I'm going to go with him instead. Sure.
Depends if it's the first time that a tender it's goes, or if it's already established.
Well, we're talking about an established route.
Established route, then, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe the first time, it's not for them to actually go.
It's accepted. Oh, established route. Okay, the first time I could see it.
The Eged knows that this is a place to put
it's not worth the while to do that. But yeah, not, I know people gunners, but I still I'd prefer to do that rather than pay something to be a showman. It's not worth my while to be a showman. So I'm happy with, so I'm not interested. I just accept the situation.
And tripping, I've got tripping bus stops.
So, what are the ashes of? Yes?
The bus stop route on Shea Gator is a convenient place where the bus can stop to pick up whoever wants to get on at that particular point.
It's a bus stop was created because Eged won the Mikraz, and therefore the city now, part of the Mikraz, the deal which they signed with Eged, is that Eged, you have to do this and this and this, and we're going to provide you with this, this and this, which means including the bus stop. So it's part of the Hesken which they do. Yes? So Rabbi Yashiv answered, which at the time was a big Kiddush, he says, it's awesome. He said it's awesome.
What
for
awesome?
The tenders to go there and pick people up from the bus stop. And not only that, he says, it's also for the people who are at the bus stop to go on the tenders because of the Issa Lifnei Eved.
Wow.
And he says, this is the Chasan Sofer. They're in the shop already, and now you're pulling them out of the shop. It's an exception. That type of exception you said. If you know that when you went to the bus stop, you haven't yet made up your mind to go on Eged or other side service, then you're not in the shop yet. So therefore, you can go on that tender, because you never were in the shop yet.
But it's still a fever.
No, it's not a fever.
Because the tender was not allowed to go to the bus stop to begin with. He's going to get five people that never had that intention.
Yes.
So by me helping his business and
you
going...
You maybe Messiah there very well.
Okay, it's their button.
Maybe, and it's, maybe it's not even Messiah, because they can do it even without your service in such a case. But if you went to the bus stop saying, I'm catching the 417, that's what I'm doing here. And you didn't even have in your mind at that stage of tender service. Yeah? But suddenly a tender comes along, says, oh, Yashiv, it's also for the tender to come and pick you up, and it's also for you to go on in such a situation, because you're already in the shop.
Can I flag down the tender if he's not after me?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, again, that's like the person in the net himself saying, I'm leaving the net, which
I'm fine, so I can tell the tender, I can't go on the bus, and when he starts going, I say, wait a minute, I want to change my mind.
No. That's called Harama.
You can walk away from the bus stop and take the tender.
Now, Rabbi Yashiv made a clause in this. The tenders have to go, they can't go up to the bus stop, but they're allowed to go 10 meters away.
Right.
10 meters away they can. Stop 10 meters away. Now, try and explain to me, why is it better if it's 10 meters away? Give me a smaller. Why is it okay suddenly if it's 10 meters away the tender? Mm-hmm. The tender can't come up to the bus stop because then he's taking them out of the shop. 10 meters away, then he can.
In the
why?
Second fishing net was also 10 meters away.
Yes.
I missed more of a
yes, yeah. So that's part of the question.
Yeah.
The 40 meters away, and still has a problem. He's in the net, you can't take that out of the net. So what's the difference if it's coming up to the bus stop, or you're 10 meters away?
You can change your mind, and you can walk. If you're going to walk, you have the temerity to walk, then I'm making a statement.
The fish is swimming away.
I want to go on the tender.
The fish is swimming away out of the net on his own volition. The fish is swimming out of the net to go to the other net.
He's not making why 10 meters?
Yeah, he just wants food.
He wants food. The same as children are not allowed to be persuaded to go into trouble. Three things.
So, very good. People are not fish.
Oh.
Fish, they don't have analytic minds to decide, I'm going to analyze the situation and decide whether this is good for me or not good for me. They just have one thing, food. Yeah, this is food it, food that. So automatically, when you put food even 10 meters away, automatically you're pulling the fish out, because that's what fish do. But if you park your tender 10 meters away, says Rabbi Yashiv, now it's a shikul hadas. The person in the bus stop will say, am I going to walk 10 meters and get the tender? Or, no, it's too much. And I'm going to stay here and wait for the bus. He has to make an analytical decision whether he's going to leave or not going to leave. So it's not that the tender pulled it out in such a situation. He's just put up, so to speak, a sign, I'm available. Now you decide. And therefore, if he decides to walk, then it's not that the tender pulled him out, it's like he himself decided to leave the net in that situation. And that's the spoiler of the tender. That's Rabbi Yashiv's hashara in such a situation.
What is it accomplished? I still don't understand what it accomplished.
Accomplishes that I didn't pull him out, I just told him there's availability here. And why did he leave? Because he himself decided in that situation that I'm leaving the net, because I don't want to be in this net anymore.
Well, it's the same thing if I pull right up to the bus stop. I'm not forcing him out of
the bus stop. No, because then, if you're pulling up right to the bus stop, there's not much of a choice then.
He has a choice. He can just not go on the tender.
No.
Why?
He's not forced. But the odds on are so high that he's going to go on the tender in such a situation, therefore you're taking down his decision making, and therefore that's already enough to say that you pulled him out rather than he's made the decision to leave.
10 meters is not going to change that decision.
Americans don't.
Okay.
According to Rebel Yashiv, if you were standing 10 meters away from the store, could you scream out with a microphone, 10% less in my store across the street, you're standing 10 meters away. Would that be the same concept, or is the store more strict?
Would it be different in such a situation?
Oh, the guy in the tent is allowed to shout, come to Yerushalayim with me? I'm 10 meters away?
No.
Oh, he's not.
Oh, he's not allowed to shout?
Not allowed to shout in such a situation. I just see him.
Ah.
I
but
see
if you
him.
Start shouting, then you can't go.
Shouting is more of a problem. More of a problem. Now, if somebody offers you a ride for free, is it a problem? Is it a problem if somebody comes up and says, it's my neighbor, I'll take him home to Ramat Beit Shemesh? Or is that an issa to do? Is it an issa, a mitzvah? If it's gazela, it's gazela. What's the difference if it's free or not free? That's what we're hearing over there.
Hasfagas gevul.
Yes.
The literal hasfagas gevul is when I take your property and make it mine. I'm not making this my property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting it stay with the guy.
So we saw last time that these halakhas don't come under Baba Kama, which talks about Geneva and Hilchas Mazik damages. It comes in Baba Basra, which is to do with who's got certain rights to do things in their property and what type of things you can do in your property. So therefore, this halakha Tzagas Gvul is a halakha of rights. You have certain rights, I have certain rights. Who has more rights? I have from this city, I have more rights. You're from a different city, you've got less rights. So, the halacha is only, like you pointed out, Chazal was the kaver, that the Issar Sotis Gvul is to take business away from him and take it to yourself, or to take the business elsewhere. To take the business elsewhere, then it's a shy of our Sotis Gvul. You're moving business from Reuven and you're giving it to Shimon. But if you're not taking business away, just telling him, you know, he doesn't, you know what, you don't need this business. You know what, you don't need to buy the thing in the Shabbat. I'll give it to you for free. Oh, you don't need it. You think you need it? You don't need it. You can do without ice cream this week. That's not our Sogas Gavul. I'm just informing you that you don't need the business in such a situation. That doesn't come under the Issa HaSogas Gavul, and therefore you're allowed to say to somebody who's already in the shop, already at the bus stop, don't need to buy here, I'll give it for you for free. I'll transport you for free in such a situation. Okay. Now let's move on. A person has bought shlushim from Yesh. You buy, give me 1,000 shekels to Yesh, now you give 900 shekels to Yesh, and you get now 1,000 shekels worth of shlushim, these tickets, which allow you to buy 1,000 shekels worth now of products in the shop. Now, so somebody has got hold of these, and he's made this decision this month, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. So what does he do? He goes into Yesh, he sees somebody who's filled up his cart, and is about to go and pay. And he says to him, I've got 1,000 shekels worth of shlushim. Give me 950 shekels, and you can add these 1,000 shekels worth of shlushim. Is that Hasogas Gavul or not? Is he taking the custom away from Yesh by selling him the shlushim of Yesh or not?
Scalping tickets, same child. Scalping tickets, the same shiloh, by a sports game or whatever.
Yes, yes. Is there a problem with Sogash Kabul? Over here. Look, be the unbun. They're ready in the shop, they're about to pay.
No, because I could just go and buy the same
stuff. And I'm taking him out of the shop. Why? Because I'm selling him these solutions.
They're not losing out because I could just go buy the same
They're not
stuff
losing the out.
They already sold those solutions.
What do you mean not losing out? If he would buy without my solution, how much money would they get? 1,000 shekels. So at the end of the day, they would have got now, altogether with the solution and his money, they would have got 2,000 shekels. 1,900 shekels. Now I come along, and how much do they get overall? 900 shekels. So they've lost 1,000 shekels because of me. Is that how Sogas Gavul? What are Sogas Gavul?
They already sold it for 900 shekels.
Yes.
They gave it a value of 1,000 shekels. Happened.
Yes, but okay, fine. But he would have bought with cash, and he would have had 1,900 shekels. Because I've sold him that solution, they only now going to get 900 shekels. They've lost 1,000 shekels. Yes, that's okay. They get 1,000 shekels worth, but they were expecting to get another 1,000 shekels from this guy with the cart, who doesn't have the solution.
In the case of a major store like that, I would say that it is okay because they want to make those shlushim attractive. So they wanted them to be able to transfer like that. So it's not going to be against their thoughts. A small makolet may be different.
It says only non-transferable.
Does it? It's non-transferable and it's ghetto. Some ghetto.
Okay. Any other opinions? Or we should move on.
900, it's not an issue. 50. Meaning, if they're not non-transferable, so then, of course, when you sell them to people, recognize that you could always sell it to somebody else. The question is just only with regards to the guy because he's in that store at that exact second. And so the store is losing out on that extra money.
1,000 shekels are losing out. Yes?
No, they're not losing out.
Because his cart is 1,000 shekels worth of of goods.
No, they're only,
and they were going to get 1,000 shekels in shekel bills.
He could use those pushim to buy goods. They're only losing the profit margin of 1,000 shekels. They're not losing the whole 1,000
again,
shekels.
Again, they would have got 1,900 shekels. 900 shekels from the pushim which he already bought, and 1,000 shekels from the goods that's in his cart.
No,
yes?
Those pushim.
And now, by you selling him the pushim, they've only got 900 shekels. They've lost 1,000 shekels.
If I couldn't sell the pushim, I take out 1,000 shekel worth of product and sell it on the street to somebody else. They're only losing the profit margin. They're not
that's
losing
right.
the whole 1,000 shekels.
Somebody's going to spend, he would have spent it himself. Mm-hmm. Would have given the merchandise that value.
Fine. They, okay, the profit margin of the merchandise.
Correct.
Let's say it's 400 shekels.
Right.
Yeah?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. 400 shekels. I understand the profit margin of the goods relative to the profit which the shop makes. They're losing over 1,000 shekels worth, they would make 400 shekels normally, and now you've destroyed, you've taken away that 400 shekels profit which they were going to get. So, I would say that the halakha would be that it's completely and utterly mutter.
Really mutter.
Completely permitted. Why? Like you said. But it's no difference between makolet and major.
No.
If you sell, if the shop itself sells these tulushim, and they don't make restrictions on it, they don't say, well, non-transfer, they don't write on it, and they don't say, well, you can only sell it out of the shop on Mondays and Tuesdays, but not in the shop at all, and not on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, they don't make any restrictions. Then basically they say when they sell this tulush, that they're transferable, and you can transfer it wherever you like, to whoever you like, at any time you like. So if so, I could do it also in the shop. Why not? You yourself told me, I can sell to a person who's in the shop.
The guy was there, he's a ready buyer. Then he'd rather sell it to somebody else, I would bring him in.
Yes, so then they should, so therefore, they should write restrictions on the tenor. So we're giving you, so to speak, something which is dangerous for us, but we are making no restrictions, so therefore we don't care about this danger.
Well, say tickets which do say non-transferable, but there are open markets online, and the end from it's known that people are buying.
So that's called gazel.
Even though it's
yes.
done, and,
but
you know,
done
probably
gazel.
They're not objecting, they're showing shtika kodah, they're not shutting down these sites.
People do it on the bus, they take
your there's a difference. If it's just because the companies just can't control it, but they muck it when they say non-transfer, they don't want it to be transferred, but they just can't control it because it's not in the ability to control it, that's called guessing. But if they can control it, but they purposely turn a blind eye, then basically they're saying is that it may write non-transferable, we've got our reasons for it, but it's not because we don't want it transferred, we don't mind it being transferred.
Or we'll tolerate a certain percentage.
Well, what about people on the bus with a kartisya? They come to you and they say, we've got a kartisya?
Yes.
And they give you
the
cheaper
yes.
price because they don't want to pay.
Yes,
by
and
the driver.
That, that situation, the bus themselves, the bus people themselves say that we don't mind if it's transferred.
It doesn't say non-transferable.
Even though it's written not made right, non-transferable on those bus tickets, but the bus company themselves say, look, we don't mind as long as the government don't find out. Yeah, that's what their concept of it. Then it's not ghetto. But if the company is muppet, it's if they can't control it, and you've got an easy way of going against their will, then that's called ghetto, and you're not allowed to.
But if the driver does it for you, then he knows that it's been
yeah.
done.
Yeah. Now, next case. Person. Therefore, you'd be able to answer this question straight away. Egid sells cheap tickets to go to Moron, but you have to buy it up to a certain date beforehand. Yeah. Like, you have to buy it. Buy Chaf Ear. Yeah, Chaf Ear is the last date you can buy these cheap tickets. Is it permitted to somebody who's bought those tickets to go then to the bus stop on the day of Lag BaOmer and sell those tickets to the people waiting Lag BaOmer to give them the opportunity to have a cheaper price which they would not be able to get if they would go on the bus stop?
You mean they could still go on the bus but it would cost more?
Yeah, it would cost more.
Yeah, we
If you buy before half the year, then it's for 80 shekels. Now you go on Lag BaOmer itself, then it's going to cost you 140 shekels. Can you sell those tickets to those people waiting at that bus stop?
Are there any restrictions on the tickets?
Doesn't say restrictions.
It should be fine.
Doesn't say restrictions. But there is that these tickets are not available after half year. That's what it does say.
The company just wants to sell a certain amount of tickets sold so that they know they can plan this. They don't really care who's going on the bus. So there shouldn't be any problems.
But you're the same as supermarket kids.
Okay. Here I disagree with you.
Okay.
Here I say that this would be awesome. Because here, by them saying Chaf Ia, they've shown there is a certain restriction which their map is on, that we don't want to give discounts on tickets after this date.
In the back in the solution case, let's say you have a minimum purchase. If you buy from Yesh directly, you've got to spend that 900 shekel minimum. Now that I'm going around the store, I'm giving them 20 here, 100 here, 200 there. I'm also not sticking within their thing they're mocked on. So you would say in that case also, then it wouldn't be like only we do the full amount?
No, I would say that would be different.
Why?
Because they want there, they, the reason why they do it, so the logic is, because we want a certain amount of money to come in to give these solution out. That's what we're mapping about. Now afterwards, what happens, we don't care if you deal with 20 people. We didn't want to deal with 20 people. Over here, Chaf'ir, the pshat in Chaf'ir is that we want to have these discounts already finished by Chaf'ir. We do not want to offer any discounts after Chaf'ir because that would destroy our whole concept of getting customers.
Then you make it non-transfer. And it should be like the airline ticket that if you sell it before a certain date and then if you want to transfer, you can't because it's your ticket. This is clearly that they're just saying you're selling it. If it doesn't say to the person, then they don't mean that they really want it all. But they just want to have a certain amount sold before a certain date.
So this type of situation where you're throwing out a different type of logic than to me means you can hear my logic, you can hear your logic. So the reason it's Chaf'ir is because they don't want any discounts after that date, then it's going to be a problem. If you say Chaf'ir, well, if that's true, they just want to get a certain amount of customers and they really don't mind, and otherwise they were writing it. So what we would do in such a situation, we would speak to the company themselves and say, what is the kavanah behind this Chaf'ir? What is the kavanah Chaf'ir?
You're never going to get an honest answer.
Speak to the marketing guy.
You don't talk to the boss, you talk to the people who work there. Yeah, and then you'll get more of an honest answer in such a situation. Okay. So in that situation, it was Mavare that the reason why they said Chaf'ir is because they don't want anything more than Chaf'ir. No more discounts after Chaf'ir because it destroys the whole policy. If there's a possibility of getting discounts after Chaf'ir, it destroys the whole concept of discounts before Chaf'ir.
And so they don't want even other people selling their discounts. But that wouldn't preclude me from selling it to somebody outside their bus stop.
Yeah, it wouldn't preclude me. Because he's not in the net. You said, you want to go to Maron? No, I don't want to go to Maron. I'll give you a cheap ticket. Okay, I'll go to Maron then. Okay, so now let's go to a Din Torah that happened 25 years ago.
When was the Tshuva of Rebbe Yosef?
The Tshuva of Yosef came out around that 13, 15 years ago. Not so long ago. Now, Din Torah like this. There's a hotel in Knok. Does anyone know where Knok is?
Knokke,
yeah.
Belgium.
It's in Belgium. It's a Jewish hotel. It's a place where it used to be before Switzerland took off. where everyone in Europe used to travel for their holidays. Jewish hotel. Now, the kashrus of it was being provided by, under the jurisdiction of Brussels community, Kehila were providing the kashrus. And for many years they provided this kashrus. They were the kashrus of this hotel.
This is a public kashrus, it's not a private
hotel. Yes. Okay. Brussels Kehila. For many years. One year, the Antwerp Kehila, kashrus authority, approached the hotel and says, "Do you notice that not many people from Antwerp come to your hotel?" He said, "Yes, yes, we do notice that. We advise you that you take on our kashrus authority, because the reason why they don't come is because they don't rely on Brussels, they only rely on Antwerp. We have a higher standard of kashrus."
Going back to the Sokhan server now.
No sofa? Tell you the facts up front. So, the person said, "You know what? You're right." And he changed the first people who were in control of the kashrus. He got rid of Brussels and he brought in the Antwerp Kehila. And in fact, he did get more customers because of it. Now, Brussels take Antwerp to base them. Not in Belgium, but in London. Brussels. We had a customer for many years, and you took that customer away. That's our soccer skill. We want you either to remove yourself or give us financial compensation for the act that you did, which is also in our eyes.
But that's why
Antwerp says, "What do you mean? It's a free market." We came to him, we told him what we have to offer. He decided to leave. It's not a problem, our soccer skill.
No, they didn't tell him what they had to offer. They told him what you didn't have to offer.
He said you're not getting. You keep the government. You're not getting.
He said they're offering a different product. In other words, kashrus is a different product.
It's a better price. Higher quality. Higher quality.
They're offering equivalent to market value. They're offering a different.
We're saying that take us on because we'll bring you more customers. That's what they're saying.
Higher quality service.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it just appears higher quality.
But wait a minute. This is not a business. It's a community hesher. You're not supposed to be in this for the money.
All kashrus authorities are in it for the money.
No, then it's a problem with Shokhan. If it's not private.
No, we went to Shokhan.
That's why you have to
who is private.
Kashrus
is not.
No,
kashrus is not Shokhan. You already said kashrus is not Shokhan. You've forgotten. You've forgotten the shoe.
Okay. I don't doubt I've forgotten the shoe. Sure.
So, is there a problem with Sakas Kavu according to what we learned or not?
It's probably worse than Sakas Kavu because your mom is going in there and taking out. You're telling him this guy's bad, come to me.
But you're not doing it in his hotel or in his. In the store.
Yeah.
You're not going into the other kasha agency's factory and having the conversation there. It's in the public. You already said it. You're in the have the public. Oh, you say it's in the netto. In the netto is where the customer. All right. It's in the
netto. Let us add the fact that every year they make a new contract with the kasha authorities. Yeah? And for the last 15 years, they've been using Brussels. Year by year, kashrus.
That shouldn't be relevant. We think we learned that's not relevant.
And the end of this year, they just didn't renew it with Brussels, and they took that to it. Does that make a difference to the Shiloh or not make a difference to the Shiloh?
I don't think it makes a difference. You're already established customer.
What's established customer?
Because you keep. It's like
what
in the case
saw,
of competition.
On what we've learned, what does established customer mean?
If they're already going to you, there's no when you have customers in the store, there's no contract at all. Yeah,
that's more established than being in the store, having 15 years history.
So let me to make the shiner even more clear heads. I come to town and there's no shop open up here. I decide to open up the Makolet. I'm the first Makolet in town. Now, of course, I get everyone in town coming to my shop. Suddenly, somebody else opens up another Makolet. Oh, it's Hasogas Gobul, because he's taking away my customers, which I've had up to now. Is that Asogas Gavul?
Not.
Well, we said
it was.
It's not. If you're from the same city and there's room for two shots, therefore you can open
it. Here you're going into this. You're going in.
This doesn't put Brussels out of business. Brussels have got five other hotels, which they do. It's just one customer.
This is much more of a loyalty-oriented kind of market. It's not a makola where today I go here and tomorrow I go there.
Therefore, where do we see this in halacha? That's what we learned. There's such a concept, which you're saying. We've learned, out of town, you've got a problem. You can't open up. You destroy the guy's business, you can't open up. We've got, he's already buying by you, and you take him out of the shop, that's a problem. But what's this? Does it fit in any of these three categories?
Providing a better
service. Giving a shir. People come to your shir.
You're providing a different...
You give a better shir than the other person. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
They say... Yeah. Do you need to come on to that? He's already buying by you. How's he buying by you? This year, Tov Shin Ayin Gimel, they're buying by me, because that's the contract. Toshin Ayin Dalit. We haven't made the contract. I just didn't renew the contract for Toshin Ayin Dalit. They're already buying for me by Toshin Ayin Dalit. They're in the net. They're ready for Toshin Ayin Dalit. So says the Rashba like this. Ruben Shachayet v'horogu v'vnei Yeroni echot mekamashon. Reuven was a tailor, and he had a customer, this Goyish customer, for many years. He's the guy, the tailor for him, he does all his work. He's the only guy. Every garment he does, he gives him $2. And suddenly, one year, after many years, Bar Shimon, the Gam Hu Chayet, came along Shimon, who's also a tailor, but wrote to Lachnas Atzba Avar in and there. He wants now to approach that goy. But Omer Lachnas Melachta Vizum Abashechot, he wants to say, I'll do your work for $1 a garment. Is he allowed to do it? That's the Rashba's question. Very similar to our case. We've got a carpenter, a tailor, who's been working for him for many years. And suddenly another tailor comes in and says, look, I also do tailoring. Take me now instead. I'll do cheaper. Says the Rashba. You can eject. We say one shop can open up next to another shop. Shani Hocha, here's different. This is comparable to the fish case. Therefore, it's compared to the fish case and you can't do it. In what way is this case compared to the fish case?
Because that's something compelling the guy to go elsewhere, he would go here.
He's like in the net, the second sfar.
He's in the net?
Right.
He's not in the net yet.
We're saying his dad.
He's going to be in the net, but he's not in the net yet.
It's equivalent of being in the net. Having das continue with him is the equivalent of being in the net.
So the Vilna Gaon says not like you. The Vilna Gaon says, where does this come from?
Well, the fish is not in the net yet either.
No, he's in the net. He jumped out.
He's going to be in the net.
No, he's in the net, and he jumps out of the first
because
net.
We're conscious that after he's in the net, no, he's going to jump out.
He's in the net, and you put up the net, and you're now making him jump out of the net.
So you're saying if the fisherman came and there's no fish in his net yet, it's mutter for me to...
Yes, according to the Rambam. Yeah. So the Vilna says, where does this come from? Stoma to the fish. The fish case, he's in the net. He's not in the net yet. You hope to be in the net, but he's not in the net yet. So says the Vilna Gaon, this comes from Rashi, who's a different Peshat in Dogim, a third Peshat in Dogim. What's the case of Dogim? Says Rashi, a different Peshat in Dogim. Why is Dogim a problem? Says Rashi. Dogim is a problem, because he says like this. Nosen ayin v'habotam, v'yos nogim, v'rots l'mokim, shuroa shom, zonis. Hilcha Kivin Shehikad Zechara Benosim Mizonis B'toch Malei Ritzisa V'tuachu Shiyapredzenu. The case of the dogim according to Rashi is that as soon as the first fisherman put up his net and put food there, he has 100% or 90% das, you know, whoa, I've done what I've needed to do, I'm going to have that fish tonight. I can already start buying the ketchup. Yeah? He already knows that the fish is coming, because that's what fish do. Because I put fish in the net, and there's no one around, of course the fish is going to come to me. I don't have to worry. Then, as soon as the second fisherman comes along, and now the second fisherman comes along, but even before the fish is in the first guy's net, comes along and puts up his net, and he goes into the second guy's net, and what you've done by the second fisherman's done, he's destroyed his expectations. Destroying his reasonable expectations is also awesome.
So why is that different in the case of the Markholeh?
It's also awesome to destroy somebody's reasonable expectations.
Why is it different in the case of Markholeh? Because I'm the only show in town, they were going to come to me.
Well, then
the
So, that's Pshat and Rashi, and says the Vilna Gaon, that's Pshat and the Rashba. Therefore, this tailor, who's been working with him for the last 10 years, was expecting to work for him for 11, 12, 30 years. Why not? Why should things change? I don't think anything should change. Therefore, somebody comes along, another tailor, and says, no, come to me next year. You're destroying my expectations. That's yours also, according to the Rashi. And the Halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch number 5, Yesh Mekomos that say, that is Osalachem, Yod Chayas, Asakim, Obi, Nukhagim, Yesh Mekomos, she ain't on him. That it depends on the Mokum, and because it depends on the Mokum, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, we have to be Machmir, because we're Ashkenazim, it's a Sofik made, it's an Issa Deraisa, so we have to be Machmir, because we're Ashkenazim, you have to be Machmir, because it's maybe an Issa Deraisa, and therefore you're not allowed to destroy somebody's expectations. That's also awesome, to destroy somebody's reasonable expectations.
So how do I get out of a long-term relationship with somebody? Let's say the hotel...
No, again...
You could do it.
If the fish itself decides I want to destroy the relationship, he can. But somebody else can't come along and destroy those expectations of getting that fish. So therefore, the based in Paskin, the Enoch and Nami, Antwerp were wrong in destroying the expectations of the Brussels Kashrus to keep having this hotel under their Kashrus authority. And therefore, you either have to remove yourself from the hotel or give them compensation. And they agreed at the end to give them financial compensation.
Even if they really are a higher level of Kashrus, and they're Mizaka the Rabin with their Kashrus?
Yes, because that din of Rabin, Zaka, and all those halachas do not apply if you're stealing something from them. Either stealing the guy in the shop or destroying their expectations.
Only for that 1 year? Only for 1 year they have to give compensation.
They have to give a reasonable compensation that they should feel happy with the situation, because in theory, you have to remove yourself.
How long the contract would go on for? The relationship?
The expectation.
If the expectation is for an indefinite time, then it will be an indefinite period. Depending on the situation, how long do you reasonably feel that the expectations over here are reasonable? Now, I keep stressing a word, and that word will answer your question. Yeah? Why is this different? And this is where we conclude. Why is this different from somebody opens up a shop? He's the first shop in town. Now he expects the whole town to come to him. That means another Markholeh can't open up because he's destroying my expectations, because I expect the whole town to come to me.
That's not a reasonable expectation.
Why isn't
it? Why? Reasonable that town will have multiple shops.
Why isn't it a reasonable expectation?
Because reasonable that those towns do have more than one Markholeh. So it's reasonable to expect that I was the first guy here, but as the town grows, or as more people get ideas, see I'm successful, they'll also take the idea.
It's
only us with the expectations.
And therefore,
expectation
I'll leave you with this question with another din Torah, which is connected to this question. And you can think about it till next week. there's a company who has customers buy them for 2-3 years. One of the telephone companies. Yeah? And comes along another company and starts, gets hold of their customer database somehow and starts calling up each of those customers and offering them better deals than their present customers.
I got them and I got one. Okay.
The companies are both Hernady owns. So they end up in Basin, because it's much better for them in Basin for some reason than going to the basement, right? So they don't want things to be revealed over there. And therefore, discussions now in Basin. Is there a problem with Hasogas Gavul of the second company phoning up the first company's database and saying, we've got better deals for you, come to us?
How do they get the database?
Maybe advertising is also. Just because everyone does it doesn't mean it's Mutsu.
How do they even get the database? Isn't that proprietary information?
They got the database. Now, think about it. This is connected to the question of the Makolit as well. So next week, we'll clarify these things.